Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
Welcome, everyone. 3:04 on this beautiful Friday, August the 10th. Welcome to the Gym Class. Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann for the fifth and final day of this week. Scott Unash finishing his vacation and getting his batteries charged for football. And actually, Scott will be in studio tomorrow to bring you the first three of several metro area football previews, those being Prairie, Xavier, and Jefferson tomorrow. That's at 9 o'clock on the Coach's Corner Sports Program with Scott Unash on the KGYM frequencies. If you happen to miss it, you're out and about, we will have podcasts up after each and every one of those interviews. A lot going on today. A couple guests. Jeremiah Davis going to talk about racing, the season growing short. We will talk with him about Knoxville Nationals coming up, Hawkeye Downs winding down, and other items in racing. Also, J.J. Stankovitz of NBC Sports Chicago. We'll visit with him about the Chicago Bears. The Bears finishing their second preseason game last night, a three-point loss to Cincinnati. A lot of Iowa angles to the Bears and the camp. We'll talk with J.J. about that in the back half of the hour. Also, we're going to give you a chance to win four tickets to Fry Fest. That coming up on Friday, August 31st at the Coralville Marriott. We'll tell you more about that as we get towards that giveaway, probably towards the bottom part of the hour. Also, Iowa Media Day today going on right now. Kyle's going to bring you up to date on comments by Kirk Ferentz here in just a minute. But we want to bring you up to date on the 100th PGA Championship being conducted at Belle Reve Country Club in St. Louis, sweltering temperatures down there. Zach Johnson going out early, scores low today. Zach managed an even par 70 to back up his first round 66. Right now, Zach sitting tied for 16th. Obviously, will make the cut, and will try to make up some ground on the weekend. Brown Deer Country Club head professional Sean McCarty, one of 20 PGA professionals in the field, right now on the course. He apparently is not content just to be participating in the event. Sean had it to 2 under par on the day, just gave one back on his 10th hole, the 10th hole at Belle Reve. Sean is 1 under par for the day, plus 3 on the tournament. And we'll have to go a bit as the cut line sits at even par right now. We'll bring you up to date on Sean's progress as we go through the first of 4 hours of local programming. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn and Kyle Mann coming up next. Let's go to highlights from Iowa Football Media Day today as they stand now due to manpower issues and the timing. Poor timing for us, the media day going on right now. But at any rate, we can follow Twitter feeds and other outlets for any information. Kyle, what do you have?
Yeah, so coming into the season, there are already a lot of questions. A lot of guys to be replaced, the entire linebacking core, some DBs, some guys on the line. But I think the biggest question right now is who's going to fill in for Tristan Wirfs and Alaric Jackson in that season opener. And Kirk Ferentz says that Mark Collenberger, Levi Paulson, and Dalton Ferguson. Ferguson's a senior. I'm not actually.
Dalton Solon. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So those are your three candidates for those two tackle spots as of right now. We also got Matt Hankins and Michael Ojemudia have apparently solidified themselves as the starting cornerbacks. With the linebacking core, Amani Jones, I think we kind of had this sense a month or so ago, but Amani Jones has solidified himself. Nick Neiman has also separated
Hooker?
Himself. Hooker,
yeah,
Hooker, Or no, Imani Jones at linebacker.
Oh, okay. Yep. All right.
I think he'll be in the middle. He and Nick Neiman have solidified themselves as linebackers. They say the third spot remains open. Kirk also said that he's been telling some of the NFL guys who come through, he's been telling them to keep an eye on Keegan Render. So that could be interesting. Maybe he's had a pretty good camp. And there's also been some discussion where there could be opportunity for young players to play. They've said it's unlikely that a freshman receiver plays, but that there could be opportunities in the secondary, at linebacker, running back, and possibly even defensive line. The name that this isn't from Ferentz himself, but a name that a lot of the beat writers have covered, say Tyrone Tracy, incoming freshman, could possibly get some chance. If they say it's not likely that a young guy plays receiver, then maybe we see Tracy at running back a bit more. And lastly, that Makai Sargent, JUCO transfer, came in this year, a running back. Ferentz says that Sargent is going to get a lot of chances.
Interesting, because Iowa brought in Butler 2 years ago, was it?
Yep.
Butler is actually in an NFL camp right now after not, you know, being injured and then contributing some to the Iowa football program. But very interesting, and I think these next 2 weeks are going to be very important for this Iowa program as it solidifies that offensive line, maybe sorts out some of those position battles, and some more teaching moments, actually. And Kirk Ferentz talked about that today. Mentioned kind of somewhat wryly that this is his 20th year, and that's the last time you'll hear that from him. And it is indeed. 20 years for Hayden Fry, 20 years for Kirk Ferentz. And I think that gets overlooked a lot. I mean, two coaches in 40 years is pretty phenomenal.
Well, when something stays the same for so long, it's easy to kind of stop taking notice of it. But, you know, I can't speak for what people around the country say, but I would imagine that nationwide, you know, the perception of Iowa is, you know, just consistency, stability. And, you know, that you get that when your coach stays at a school for 20 years. So I think you're right. It gets overlooked, but it really shouldn't. And I think Iowa fans appreciate that, even though they maybe have become numb to it.
319-366-1600, our phone line. Jeff Downing, our associate producer, across the glass. And that's our Hertine and Stocker Jeweler text line. Feel free to weigh in on any and all subjects today. One afternoon baseball game going on right now. And a pitcher out of Des Moines is having a day on the mound against the Chicago Cubs. I don't want to say much more than that right now.
Allow me.
Six innings, Jeremy Hellickson is having a pretty nice day.
No hitter. I had to say it. Just spreading awareness.
Typical Cub fan.
Just spreading awareness. I'm just doing my part.
Yeah, Hellickson no hitting the Cubs through six innings right now. It's 2-0. The Washington Nationals on top of the Chicago Cubs. Let's see. We got a
Wally.
Wally, we haven't talked to Wally forever.
No, I'm actually I regret that I wasn't able to answer the phone because we haven't heard him. We haven't heard from Wally in so long. I was actually a little bit worried about him. So I'm very excited
for
this.
Way to top off our week, Wally. How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. It's good to hear you guys again.
Thank you.
Yeah, I guess I took a little bit of a break. Trying to work on my golf game with not a lot of success, I'll tell you.
I can relate.
It's all in the grip, Wally. That's what you told me.
Yeah. I'm trying to weaken my left hand a little bit because I'm snapping everything to the left. So, but, yeah, anyway, that's another story. But I think I might have called in on this back when the Friday night practice was. And I'm surprised we're not hearing anything about, is it LaShawn Bryan? He's number 16.
Tyshawn.
Running back?
Tyshawn.
Tyshawn? Whatever. Anyway, I thought he was one of the bright spots of the scrimmage, and I would imagine Stanley's going to be the starter, but I was really impressed with the kid from Texas, Peyton Manzel.
Mm-hmm.
He throws a nice ball, very catchable ball. Might need to get a little more air underneath it. Actually, threw two real nice passes to the true freshman from Connecticut. and the kid turned his shoulder the wrong way on both balls, or he would have scored, or one of them he would have scored on for sure. But anyway, well, at least these linemen are going to get the ones that are taking place of the alcoholics. Just kidding.
Oh,
anyway, the partiers, they'll get some experience. So if somebody goes down for, you know, a quarter or so, at least somebody's already got some game experience there. I guess that's one way to look at it, positive. But I'll start tuning in a lot more and see what happens this fall. I don't know what I kind of hit the nail on the head last year's prediction, but I don't know what to think this year. Who knows?
Well, get back to us on that, Wally, will you?
Look forward to hearing from you.
It's good hearing you guys, too. Believe me.
Wally weighing in, and to clarify, I know it was tongue-in-cheek when he said alcoholics. Not true of either Tristan Wirfs or Alaric Jackson that we know of. And Wirfs was arrested for an OWI. Alaric Jackson suspended for violating team rules.
Yeah, not a legal issue at all. Just to be clear there.
Yeah. A reminder, the gym class sponsored by Third Base Brewery on the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids. Like KGYM, Third Base is locally owned and operated, a place where families meet up again and again, great for a quick lunch, watch a game after work, maybe for the finish of this Washington Cubs game, get out of work, go to Third Base, or bring in the family for an affordable and delicious meal.
Catch quick no-hitter.
Make sure you ask about the $25 Third Base Mug Club. A lot of great benefits when you participate in that. Thanks again to Third Base on the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids. It's going to take a lot to supplant Nate Stanley, a quarterback. No matter how good a guy looks, you do need a backup. Is Manziel listed two right now? I don't have a depth chart in front of me.
Yeah. I don't know about the depth chart. I haven't seen it. But to be honest with you, and I, Wally, I just know from having calls with him, he's big into the depth. He follows the recruiting real close. And so I know that he knows this. I don't even know if Manziel can count on being number two this year just because, you know, we've got a lot more important things to talk about on that Iowa roster. But Spencer Petras, they just brought him in. He's a true freshman, but he's a four-star. Pretty smart kid, got a good arm, so I think he's got a chance to be back up here right in year one. But, yeah, Nate Stanley's, you know, obviously the starter. It's not really even – not worth spending a whole lot of time talking about the backup right now.
Do need some depth at running back, I think, because if you look year in and year out at the Iowa football program, you rarely get through a season with three. Certainly not one or two. And I think number one is pretty solidified right now. And number two has some experience. So who that three is, I'm really not sure.
Well, I kind of like what they're working with right now. It's pretty clear they don't have. I don't think we're going to see a workhorse back this year unless somebody really pulls away. But you're looking at Torin Young, who I think is the number one you're referring to. Torin Young, Ivory Kelly Martin, I think he's got some talent. He's fast, but he's also got a decent frame to go up the middle. And then Makai Sargent, that guy's a bowling ball, and he had a good year at Iowa Western last year. So you've got three. I don't know if I would even go so far as to call them dependable right now, but you've got three guys who would appear to be capable, and they should feel pretty decent about. And then that Tyrone Tracy, the true freshman, he's a playmaker. And so who's to say how much Kirk Ferentz will want to use a true freshman carrying the ball a whole lot? But they could have four guys who are pretty decent as far as making plays out of the backfield goes.
A lot of statistics to make up in the absence of Akram Wadley. And Wadley saw him a bit last night for the Tennessee Titans, and I think he stands a great chance of sticking with that team. He's got some versatility, being able to catch the ball out of the backfield. And granted, it was only game one for the Tennessee Titans, but in the preseason, but he showed me some things.
Yeah, and I think perhaps a little bit unfortunately, he showed a couple too many things. We saw both the best and the worst of Akram. He did return to his old ways. Hawkeye fans are familiar. He fumbled, lost a fumble here in his NFL debut. But then, of course, he bounced back with a 64-yard kick return. So you got a little bit of the bad, a little bit of the good.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to move forward and grow, I suppose.
Let's go to Joel on the phone line. Joel wants to weigh in. How are you doing this afternoon, bud?
Doing good. How are you guys?
Very well.
So just talking a little bit. I've heard some of the clips from Kirk on Media Day. It's weird not being there. This is my first one in 3 years where I'm not there. But it's one of those things with Kallenberger and the tackle position. I covered him when he was at Bettendorf. And I you guys know me. I grew up, you know, playing in the trenches, played in defensive line in college. I was around a lot of good offensive linemen and was fortunate enough to be in a lot of those games that Eric Steinbach played in at Iowa. I'm not comparing Mark Kallenberger at this stage in his career to Eric Steinbach. But what you see is an athlete that are very similar to some of the great offensive linemen that have come through the University of Iowa. That kid is a tremendous athlete. I watched him play basketball as well. And Bettendorf, not just is Bettendorf a football powerhouse, they're a football powerhouse because they have one of the best offensive line coaches in the state of Iowa, and they're a tremendous tradition there. I don't think we're going to see a huge drop-off having Kallenberger at that left tackle position because from a technique standpoint, he's coming in a little bit ahead of the curve, and he's a gifted athlete. So I think you're going to see Iowa manage that pass rush with Mark a little bit quicker, getting the ball out of Stanley's hands quicker. Think of some of those more rocket screens, those out quick outs. And also having two elite tight ends, that's going to keep those linebackers at bay, so you might have a little bit more time to step up into the middle of the pocket. Watch Kallenberger. He's going to be a top three-round NFL draft pick by the time his career is done at the University of Iowa. I think he's that gifted of an athlete. So it should be fun to watch this year. It's kind of a blessing that they get to test him right away this early in his career.
Interesting perspective, Joel. Appreciate it. Yeah, Kallenberger obviously comes, as Joel outlined, from a terrific program in Bettendorf. Turned out so many quality players, and he came in very highly regarded. And I'm going to trust Joel. He's got great technique. But you're talking about a guy who doesn't have much experience at all. And we've outlined what Northern Illinois has at defensive end, the sack leader in the country last year. And to step in, and great point about the tight ends being able to maybe neutralize that situation. And I've got to believe the game plan is going to be something along the lines of going away from that defensive end.
Yeah, I think you nailed it right on the head there. Kallenberger, even Paulson, it's not that we're doubting the quality of these guys as players, but I think more important than that is just that the reality, they're not all that experienced, and Sutton Smith is an NFL prospect. They're going to be, as talented as you are, you're going to maybe see the best player you're going to see all season on the very first snap of the year. So that's just going to be very tough to deal with. I'm not saying they can't do it, but it's going to be a lot to deal with, especially maybe in that first drive, that first quarter.
We need to get to a break. The no-hitter is over at Wrigley Field. The Cubs have tied it at 2-2. With the Nationals in the bottom of the sixth. Jeremy Hellickson out of Des Moines pitching 5-plus great innings for the Nationals, but that no-hit bid is over. We
it's
need
too bad.
To – come on, Kyle.
No, it's a good effort. I know. It's too bad.
Let's get to a break, and as we do, we'll bring in Jeremiah Davis, talk about some racing. He coming up next.
DePaco is the credit union where your membership pays. Unlike typical profit-driven financials, DePaco's cooperative, member-owned structure enables us to give money back to you. We do it via thank yous, a special member benefit that thanks you in cash for simply using your credit union services. It's money in your pocket for your participation in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and planning for your financial future. With an active personal checking account, you're eligible to earn. Over the past 2 years, DePaco members have shared more than $6 million in thank yous. So go on, save, borrow, invest, and insure with DePaco, and earn thank yous for doing so. Yeah. Find out what you're earning and how you can earn even more. Get the details at DePaco.com/thank yous. Requires credit union membership and an active personal checking account. DePaco is federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Yeah, I got the text, just like every day about this time. What should we have for dinner? Usually I send back an IDK and get a frowny face emoji in return, but today I had an idea. Texted back just one word, Domino's. And she sent me a big smiley face and three thumbs up. I just might be a supper genius.
When it's time to decide on supper, here's an idea. Domino's. Order Domino's tonight. Edgewood Road in Cedar Rapids and in Marion.
The Iowa State Fair is just around the corner. You know what comes with the fair? Fair specials. Big Dog TV and Internet will be there showing off the greatest in television technology. But if you can't make it to Des Moines, come visit our showroom on Blair's Ferry Road in Cedar Rapids or call 395-0800 to take advantage of the fair special. Get a $100 prepaid card with a new activation courtesy of Big Dog, your Dish Premier local retailer. See you at the fair. New customers must qualify DHA Plus or DHA Elite. Restrictions apply. Offer ends 8/31/18.
Can buying a used car feel like new? At Toyota of Iowa City, all used cars come with pre-owned continued care. That's 2 years of oil changes, tire rotations, multi-point inspections, and car washes with every service appointment, plus 10% off maintenance items. That's a new car experience for a pre-owned purchase. Shop today at ToyotaIowaCity.com or stop in to see us. Pre-owned continued care only at Toyota of Iowa City. It's what we do.
See dealer for details.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Welcome back, 325 on the Gym Class. Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, Jeff Downing with you today. Friday edition of the Gym Class. A little update at Wrigley Field. Jeremy Hellickson out of Des Moines pitching for the Washington Nationals. Did not give up a hit, but he did walk the bases loaded in the sixth inning before Jason Hayward delivered a two-run single. So Hellickson going 5 2/3, no hits. He was charged with those two runs, but four walks, including three in the sixth inning. And that pretty much, folks, will get you nowhere.
It's, you know, I almost, as good as the start was, if you walked the bases loaded, I'd probably take you out right there.
Mm-hmm. Going to get hooked up with Jeremiah Davis momentarily. He could be with a customer, who knows, but we'll get with Jeremiah here momentarily. Update from the 100th PGA Championship. We mentioned earlier, Zach Johnson with an even par 70 to go with his 4-under par 66 in the first round. He still stands tied for 16th. Sean McCarty, 1-under through 11 holes, just missed about a 9-foot birdie putt on 11. Sean outside the cut line right now, which is even par. So we'll see if Sean can... maybe make a couple three birdies. There is one club pro who is at even par and will make the cut. But Sean, I think, stands second among the club pros, which is a tremendous achievement. And Michael Oss reporting this morning that Sean, fighting a shoulder injury, was not even sure he would be able to go out yesterday. He did shoot 74 yesterday, but in warm conditions, apparently the shoulder is coming through just fine because he is 1-under. And his plus three total for more than 18 holes is a lot better than some of the more accomplished professionals in the field who are not going to make the cut. And that's just a great accomplishment for a club pro. And Monday we'll talk with Mike Halas of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, who is in St. Louis, chronicling the play of not only Sean McCarty but Zach Johnson, who will try to get in contention tomorrow in the third round. Zach having a pretty decent year. I know he wants to make the Ryder Cup. I think he's an outside candidate right now, despite his experience, but he would need a very strong finish here in the PGA to be in consideration for Captain Jim Furyk, as Furyk makes his selections a little later on. So at this point, let's do this. Let's call an audible. Let's give away, for the last time this week, tickets to Fry Fest, which will happen August 31st. That's a Friday. And that happening at the Coralville Marriott. Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn going to be broadcasting live from the event. If you've never been, it's terrific. So many great things going on. Hawkeye Pep Rally former player panel discussion, autograph sessions, a Hawkeye fashion show, and a concert that night with the Pork Tornadoes. So caller six right now, you're going to win four admission wristbands to the Fry Fest High Porch Picnic August 31st. Caller number six right now.
On this episode of the World's Shortest Sitcom by KFC. So what did we learn today, folks? That's right. KFC now has four different $20 fill-ups to feed a family of four. Like my 8-piece extra crispy or 8-piece original recipe. 12-piece tenders or my new 6-piece boneless breast with all the fixings for just $20. Wow, that sure is one reactive audience. Anyways, see you next time. KFC, it's finger-licking good. At participating KFCs, prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
Summer is here. The sun is out, and so are you. When you go, take along a clever little app called Audible so you can listen to the stories you love while doing the things you love outside. A walk, a run, the pool, or the beach, all better with Audible. For just $14.95 a month, you get a credit good for any audiobook from the world's largest selection. If you don't like it, exchange it anytime. So get outdoors with Audible. Start a 30-day trial, and your first audiobook is free at audible.com.
Let's talk about some premium trios like three-piece suits and 3D movies. But those who choose premium at the pump choose Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline for triple action engine protection against gunk, corrosion, and wear for optimal engine performance. And now through September 2nd, fuel reward members can save up to 10 cents a gallon after every fill-up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Rewards valid on a future fill after minimum 5-gallon purchase. Members with silver status save up to 8 cents a gallon at participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons. See fuelrewards.com/nitro for details.
To give batters a different look, pitchers throw a changeup.
Your idea of a different look is sunglasses.
That's true.
But La Quinta Inns and Suites is really taking the different look thing to a new level.
Definitely a major league makeover, starting with a bolder, brighter lobby full of comfortable spaces to let you settle in.
Or chill out in front of a big flat screen like Wingo would.
Oh, you know it. It's a changing La Quinta look to help you get in the zone and look sharp when you hit that big meeting.
Prepare to win at business with La Quinta Inns and Suites.
Book now at LQU.com.
Welcome back to the Gym Class, 3:32 on this Friday. Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann alongside Scott Unash returning to the Gym Class on Monday, but actually to local programming tomorrow as he has his weekly Coach's Corner program at 9 a.m. previewing the football seasons of Prairie, Xavier, and Jefferson tomorrow. Again, that's 9 a.m. on KGYM frequencies. Kyle, who's going to Fry Fest?
That's going to be Blake from Hiawatha.
Excellent. I don't know if Blake's ever been, but he'll certainly enjoy himself. And I encourage Blake and anybody else going to stop in with Todd Bromekamp and Alex Kuhn at their location in the exhibition hall of the Coralville Marriott that day. And anyone can grab a numbered card for a shot to win $100 in cash. That's going to be given away during local programming Tuesday, September 4th. So another reason to interact with KGYM and enjoy another aspect of Fry Fest. Apparently, we're going to not be able to get hooked up with Jeremiah Davis, but on the racing scene, I can tell you that the eight-day Knoxville Nationals going on right now, the conclusion Saturday. The highlights thereof, a 16-year-old is going to start that A main race on Saturday. That's setting a record previously held by one and only Jeff Gordon, who was 18 when he started. Kyle Larson, NASCAR star, is going to be in that A main alongside in the second row with 10-time champion Donnie Schatz. So figures to be a terrific lineup for the Knoxville Nationals coming up. I was going to ask Jeremiah about the woes of Farley Speedway because as we talk about that, the phone rings, and that's probably Jeremiah. But just had some really bad luck with weather this year. And last Monday, the World of Outlaws scheduled to be there. Second time this year, the World of Outlaws have been canceled at Farley. Earlier, the Speedway announced that they were going to suspend weekly racing. So really a tough go of it for Farley Speedway, and we wish them the best of luck up there. As far as Hawkeye Downs goes, weekly racing tonight with vintage cars on the track as well. And then next week, the season championships already. That'll be August 17th, again next Friday. And wow, the season has gone really fast, and we can only hope good weather for not only tonight but next week's season championships. Cedar Rapids Colonel is getting it done on the road, Kyle. I think have won three in a row now, right?
That's exactly right, and they really needed that because they had lost five in a row right before that happened, and that was, you know, they'd been red hot this entire second half, so that was a little bit of a little puzzling, but it's good to see them get back to it. They just got Trevor Larnach, the first-round pick, Ryan Jeffers, second-round pick, so they lose Royce Lewis and Alex Kirilloff, and, you know, they kind of get got replaced right away by a couple more talented guys.
Yep, the second half of the season winding down. Colonel's in good position for a playoff berth. The conclusion of that three-game series against Clinton tonight in Clinton, 6:30, and then the Colonels are at Quad Cities Saturday and Sunday before returning for a five-game homestand with two against Quad Cities on Monday and Tuesday, and then three against Peoria. That's Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then a couple more weekend series, and that's about it. The season just about to be put in the books, at least the regular season. And as I said, the Colonel's in very good position for at least one of the two spots in the second half. Did not solidify a spot in that first half, but very good shot to continue in the playoffs. I'll tell you what, I'm not sure what Jeff Downing's got going on there, but he's giving me a hand signal, and we'll figure that out.
Were you able to catch any preseason last night?
I watched the Bears, and we're going to talk to J.J. Stankiewicz here in a little bit, NBC Sports Chicago, about the Chicago Bears. And, you know, you still didn't get a whole lot of it, a lot out of it. Second exhibition game for the Bears. First for the Cincinnati Bengals. Starters played one series, I think. But I don't mind watching to see some of those position battles, and I want to talk to J.J. About some of those here coming up in just a couple minutes. But watched a little bit of the Titans and Packers, a little bit of the Browns. Saw Baker Mayfield, I thought, show pretty well.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, this might show up on Love It or Leave It for Alex and I later today. I haven't decided for sure, but, you know, I think it – even if it's not Baker Mayfield starting day one, because I don't believe he will, but I think we're gonna have to say farewell to the Browns jokes here very, very soon. They've got, at least offensively, they have a lot of talent, and they've got some pieces on defense as well. So, you know, I know everybody always had fun making fun of the Browns, and, you know, maybe the worst run franchise in all of sports for a little while, but I think those days might be close to over, and it's kind of exciting to see.
It's not an easy division. And I don't think it's an easy schedule. I don't have it in front of me. I glanced at it a few days ago. But, no, I don't think Baker Mayfield's going to start. I don't know that he'll start any time this year. Tyrod Taylor is a very underrated quarterback.
Yeah, and this is going to be the first time. You know, he's been serviceable, and that was with, you know, the Bills. And, you know, until they traded for Kelvin Benjamin last year, I couldn't tell you, you know, the last time they had an actually talented receiver. So this is going to be a whole new experience for Tyrod Taylor, who, you know, I loved him at Virginia Tech. He's done a great job of evolving, because he's a spectacular athlete. And in college, he was kind of one of those running quarterbacks. He's done a fantastic job of coming to the NFL and just becoming very mature and smart. He knows when to use his legs. So he's really turned into a good quarterback, and I think he could even take another step forward this year with some actual talent around him.
Caught a little bit of the 49ers and Cowboys. That was a late game, just because I wanted to see C.J. Beathard, and and what he might be able to do. And you know, there wasn't a lot shown. But 49ers in a good position. I think they're one of the sexier teams out there right now because of the way San Francisco finished the end of the season. Garoppolo coming in, leading him to, what, five straight wins. But you got C.J. Beathard, who's started, what, five games? Got some experience back there, too.
You know, talking about Tyrod Taylor, you know, C.J. Beathard could kind of be on a similar career path. I don't think C.J. Beathard's ever going to be a starter, but he could do the same thing that Tyrod did. Just kind of make sure you know, we know C.J.'s a smart guy. Just kind of become responsible, smart, be ready when you're called upon. C.J. Beathard could have a pretty good career as a backup quarterback.
Look at Chase Daniel. Had a terrific career at Missouri. He's a backup with the Bears now. He's been in the league for a decade, made 20-some million dollars.
He's doing all right.
And has done all right. And that's a good guy to have behind Mitch Trubisky or whoever it may be. Speaking of the Bears, let's bring in J.J. Stankovitz right now from NBC Sports Chicago. J.J., thanks for jumping on late notice.
Yeah, of course, guys. Sure thing.
What was your biggest takeaway from last night?
You know, it honestly wasn't anything that happened in the game. It was that after the game, you know, you go to the locker room and you kind of expect players to be like, it was the first preseason game, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch Trubisky was not happy. He was frustrated with how he played. He was frustrated with how the offense played. And, you know, I kind of wrote about it on NBC Sports Chicago. It wasn't surprising, just given how, you know, we know Trubisky kind of thinks and operates. But it was still good to see. You know, you have a 20-something young quarterback in his second year in the NFL who's not happy with playing poorly, and that's how the Bears' offense was. You know, they had a drop pass from Kevin White. They had a couple penalties on offensive linemen. Things didn't look smooth. They were pretty sloppy. And Trubisky wasn't happy with that, and he, you know, kept saying over and over again, this isn't us. It's not going to be like this. It has to be better, and it will be better. So that was kind of my biggest takeaway, is that, you know, here you have a guy who took 10 snaps yesterday, only 8 of which actually counted because of penalties, and he was pretty angry and frustrated with how those went. And, you know, instead of other quarterbacks, you might say, you know, or see, just be like, well, whatever, it was the first preseason game, we're going to be fine. He wasn't happy with it.
Are we ever going to see the Kevin White that was the number one draft pick of the Bears a few years ago?
The one that came out of West Virginia? I don't think so. I mean, he's buried on the depth chart in the sense that, you know, Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Anthony Miller, Trey Burton, and Tariq Cohen will all be more targeted than him this year. Adam Shaheen might be more targeted than him this year, too, the way Shaheen's been kind of going this camp. So I think what the Bears see in Kevin White is a fourth receiver, a guy who they still believe has some playmaking ability. He can stretch the field. He's big. You know, you can hit him on a deep pass, on a go route, potentially, but he's not a guy who they're counting on to play a lot of snaps and be targeted quite a bit like they were last year when they got burned by that because they counted on Kevin White to be their number two or number three receiver. Marcus Wheaton wasn't ready for the season. Cam Meredith got hurt before the season, and then Kevin White got hurt three quarters into the season, and their wide receiver core is a disaster. So they kind of learned their lesson. I do have to say, overall, the wide receiver core has easily been the most impressive group for the Bears down in training camp this year, and it hasn't really even been close.
Mm.
I know it can be difficult to quantify improvement, especially when you're looking ahead, but between this being Mitch Trubisky's second year, you know, just that extra year under his belt and having a bit more of an innovative offense you would think this year, what areas of improvement would you most expect to see from Trubisky?
I think in terms of the way that he can run the offense, just watching them for all 16 games, watching every single snap Mitch Trubisky took last year, that offense was bad. It was predictable. It was run the ball twice and then have a 3rd and 7, and no one can really run to the sticks except Kendall Wright, and then if he's covered, it's going to be a punt. Like, I just think the improvements for Trubisky are bigger than accuracy, footwork, all those things I think are coming along and coming along nicely for him. It's just in terms of his ability to operate an offense that is more tailored to his skill set than the one ran by John Fox and Dal Loggins last year, which was really it was so conservative that, you know, it was like they had Trubisky in bubble wrap all year. I just think what he does this year is going to be more the product of him being in the right offense. And then on top of that, him taking the next step in his second year, developing the way that most quarterbacks with the pedigree of Trubisky will develop from year one to year two.
The way I see it, the Bears kind of got their offensive cornerstone last year with Mitch Trubisky, and then tried to get their defensive cornerstone with this draft in Roquan Smith. But as we know, he's not practicing yet. He's not signed. Do you have any idea where the timetable is with him? And at what point does that become, you know, really, truly detrimental with his preparation leading into his rookie season?
Yeah, I'll say first, the timeline, no one has any idea. I mean, this is a stalemate. Both sides are dug in to what they want out of this contract, and no one seems to be budging. And I think both sides realize this isn't good for anyone. But maybe we're at the point now where no one wants to give any ground because you don't want to set a precedent one way or the other, whether you're CAA, whether you're the Bears. You've made it this far, and you don't want to give any ground. So it's a complete stalemate, and no one really knows when Roquan Smith is going to show up. That being said, you know, I think it's looking in the smaller picture, it's going to be detrimental probably. If it is, it's going to be the first couple weeks of the season, maybe weeks 1, 2 to 3. Either Roquan Smith isn't out there and Nick Kwiatkowski, who's at a really solid camp, is the starting inside linebacker next to Danny Trevathan, or he is out there and there are some missed assignments or some, you know, blown tackles or just, you know, certain things along those lines. For the general picture of Roquan Smith's career, I've talked to a number of people about this, and most of them say, he's going to be fine. He's a great player. He's a truly elite talent. You know, it's not like we're dealing with like a bad tight end, like Colton Underwood holding out in training camp. This is a really, really good player. And, I think that the Bears believe he's going to be okay. And he's going to be the anchor of this defense for years to come, no matter how long this holdout continues.
Is the main sticking point compensation for any on or off field suspensions he may receive?
Yeah, that's the latest reporting on the deal, is that, you know, the Roquan Smith agency wants essentially his guaranteed money to be protected and guaranteed, and the Bears still want to reserve the right, as they have in previous contracts with first round picks, to be able to take away guaranteed money if there are off-the-field incidents, on-the-field suspensions. You know, the helmet rule plays a part in this, but it's not the whole thing. So it's a sticking point because Roquan Smith's agents at CAA seem like they have dug in and said, we're sick and tired of our clients risking their guaranteed money, when really a rookie contract is the only time you ever get guaranteed money. And, you know, I think then from the Bears' standpoint, they feel like the language that's been in their contract for years has been sufficient. And, you know, it really is, you can see both sides of it. I think a lot of people tend to side more with the player's side of things just because guaranteed money is such a fleeting thing in the NFL, and careers are so short that it is kind of unfair that players don't get guaranteed money in this league. But however it plays out, I think at this point we've reached the kind of point in the standoff where fans just want Roquan Smith to show up, and they don't care who's right, who's wrong. They just want him in camp, and they want to see what number 58 can do.
J.J. Stankovic of NBC Sports in Chicago joining myself, Mark Dukes, and Kyle Mann at 3:48 today on the Gym Class. J.J., as you might imagine, there's a lot of interest in James Daniels in these parts. Daniels, only 20 years old and doing what he's doing. He had 44 snaps last night, JJ. What are the center, guard, a combination thereof? What do you expect out of James this year?
Yeah, I think, guys, you, well, first of all, Iowa turned out a pretty good offensive line prospect for the Bears. That is played itself out in, you know, James Daniels was hurt. He missed the Hall of Fame game with a shoulder thing. He came back to practice, and Kerry Heaston kind of slipped in there. Yeah, he's going to be playing center for us now going forward. Part of that is because Hronas Grisu, the backup center, has missed a couple practices with an ankle injury. The other part of it is that James Daniels looked really good at center yesterday. I think he was the best offensive lineman on the field for the Bears in terms of just how well he played. Granted, he was going against the Bengals' number two defense. He wasn't having to block Geno Atkins. Mm-hmm. But for a guy who is, like you said, 20 years old and playing in his first pro competition, I thought what he did was really solid. So, you know, looking ahead, he's going to have to keep putting up performances like this in games, because not only does he have to earn a spot on the offensive line, but he has to prove that the Bears' offensive line is better with him at center and Cody Whitehair at left guard than with Cody Whitehair at center and Eric Cush at left guard. So there are a couple different moving parts here in the offensive line, but I do think that what he put on tape yesterday was a really good start for him eventually taking over a starting spot in the Bears' offensive line, the five members on that, sooner rather than later.
Another interesting story on Bears camp is one Michael Joseph, who is a Division III prospect out of right up the road from here, the University of Dubuque. Saw him in action last night. And just looking at the depth chart, it appears, and you tell us differently, JJ, it appears to be a long shot, maybe a practice squad player. What about Michael Joseph?
You know what? I thought he was a long shot before yesterday. And this has less to do with what he did and more to do with what Marcus Cooper did.
Mm.
Cooper being the veteran who they signed last year. He was a complete bust. They brought him back on a pretty cheap deal this year to be, you know, to compete to be the kind of number one reserve outside corner. And Marcus Cooper looked awful. He got absolutely abused by A.J. Green. Pretty much any receiver who lined up over him got the better of him yesterday. And that stuff is kind of a continuation of what we saw out of him last year. So I kind of wrote about this today on NBCSportsChicago.com that the race for the backup cornerback gig for the Bears is pretty well wide open right now. And Michael Joseph is very much in that. We've seen Michael Joseph run with the number two defense like he did yesterday. That certainly is a good sign. I think he's got to do more on tape to earn that spot. Duran Grant is a kid they had on the practice squad last year who made a couple plays last night. He may be in the driver's seat for the backup cornerback job if it's not Marcus Cooper right now. But, look, I don't think Michael Joseph is necessarily a long shot for the roster. I do think, ideally, the Bears would be able to put him on the practice squad, let him develop a little bit more. But he's got a chance to earn himself a spot on the active roster, on the week one roster, if he can put up some good performances over training camp here.
I think the Bears brought in some really interesting pass catchers for Trubisky this offseason. Allen Robinson going to be your go-to receiver. Anthony Miller, kind of your slot guy you're going to throw some screens to. The one that I'm very curious about is Trey Burton, because they didn't only sign him, they made him one of the highest paid tight ends in the entire league. What is there to like about Trey Burton, and how can we expect to see him used?
Yeah, you know, Burton's interesting because he, like you said, he was one of the highest paid tight ends in the league. He got a ton of guaranteed money for being kind of the second or third option in Philadelphia. But the Bears identified the game that he has and view him as a really ideal fit for the U/move tight end in Matt Nagy's offense. And they see him as a guy who could be along the lines of a Travis Kelce, not to that level of catching a billion balls and, you know, being the number one go-to target. But they see his skill set as being really good for Matt Nagy's offense, and that he can create some really interesting mismatches, because if you want to go base against the Bears and Trey Burton split out and you have a linebacker on him, he's going to win that matchup. If you decide to go nickel because you don't want the Bears to throw the ball, Burton, while he's not the most accomplished blocker, has enough skill to be able to block a safety or a nickel corner or just a defensive back on a running play. So they feel like, I think a lot of the mismatches on this offense kind of start with Trey Burton. in their ability to create it. And then from there, you get Tariq Cohen, Taylor Gabriel, some of those guys, Anthony Miller and Allen Robinson as your, you know, outside guys who can play all over. This offense has been really fun to watch down in Bourbonnais. And it is kind of a bummer going back to Trubisky. It was kind of a bummer that they didn't look very good on Thursday, because we've seen some really exciting things out of this offense. But I got to figure they'll shake the rust off, and you'll see some pretty dynamic things from Trey Burton and the rest of this offense going forward.
Bears lost six games by 8 points or fewer in a 5-11 season in 2017. As a Bears fan, I know that very well, JJ. Why are two in an improved division, getting better all the time? Why should we expect, as Bears fans, to be at any better this year?
You should expect to be better because the talent on this team is better. I mean, across the board on offense, this is a better, more talented team. I think maybe the only thing you could say is maybe, you know, the Bears got a little worse on the offensive line by losing Josh Sitton and replacing him with a rookie, although, you know, going back to James Daniels, he has looked pretty good. Defense, I think that is where most of the concern I have lies on this team, which is kind of weird to say because they were a top 10 defense last year. But the guys they trotted out last night in Cincinnati were the exact same guys they ran out last year. And, you know, it's sort of like if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And we don't really know if the Bears are getting better. I think they need a tremendous stride out of Leonard Floyd this year for the defense to be better. They need, you know, Akeem Hicks to produce the way he did last year, if not better. They need, you know, a couple other guys. They need Danny Trevathan to be healthy. And then they need Roquan Smith. They need a truly great player to be inserted into that defense for me to really think that they can get it done. That being said, the Bears defense is not going to bottom out. Vic Fangio is a very good defensive coordinator who's going to get that unit to be cohesive, play well together, be on their assignments. But you just wonder if there are enough good to great players on that defense for them to take the kind of step that they all think they can take by just kind of keeping that continuity.
JJ, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining us, and hopefully we can catch up down the road, okay?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, guys.
JJ Stankovic joining us from NBC Sports in Chicago. A lot of nice inside information there.
He's good.
On the Chicago Bears, yeah. You could tell he's got his ear to the ground and eyes straightforward on the Chicago Bears. And I think it's going to be, if not a great season, it's going to be an interesting season because, as he said, the Bears just simply have more talent. And whether that equates to more wins, we shall see. Coming up at the end of the show here, programming notes. Twins baseball against the Detroit Tigers tonight. We'll join in progress at 7 p.m. on 107.5 FM. Twins beginning a series with the Tigers tonight. This weekend, you may listen on 106.3 FM and 1600 AM to the 100th PGA Championship. Nothing better than golf on the radio. Trust me, I've listened to it. It's actually surprisingly good. And hopefully you can tune in if you're out and about. Again, 1 o'clock beginning Saturday and Sunday. Speaking of the PGA Championship, it has been suspended due to weather right now in the end of the second round. Zach Johnson already in the clubhouse shooting a 70, and is 4 under par for the tournament, tied for 16th. Sean McCarty on the course. He is on his 12th hole, so we'll see if he can finish his round today. Sean, 1 under par on the day, but still outside the cut line at plus +3. Kyle, it's been a great week. I appreciate you sitting in, and looking forward to Scott Unas' return to the gym class on Monday. Again, he'll be on the air Saturday morning, tomorrow morning, for the Coach's Corner sports previews.
Yeah, and I know he's going to be excited. He'll be glad to be back. He'll have a lot to talk about.
Thanks to you, Jeff Downing, our guest today. And we'll talk to you Monday on the gym class.
Don't miss Mark Wahlberg in Mile 22, only in theaters August 17th.
Do you want to live in a world where everybody feels cozy and validated?